Persia, Socrates boldened again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 4.
Part 1. These questions are from the German magazine, Quick. The first question is, do you think the German Chancellor is afraid of you?
Absolutely. Otherwise, there is no reason. To make a law that I cannot enter into Germany. I have never been into Germany. I have never committed any crime against German law. I have not even applied for any tourist visa. So from my side, there has been no question of entering into Germany. It must be his own phobia. He is certainly afraid. That can be said categorically. And the reason of fear is that the German youth is deeply in love with me. And the German youth is finished with the politicians. The day Adolf Hitler died, an ignominious death, German politicians have died for the younger generation. The whole politics has become ugly. German priests are afraid. They may be behind the Chancellor in a joint conspiracy, because this is for the first time in the whole history that Christians are facing a man who is taking their youth, their very cream, their intelligent people, educated people, their talented people, out of their folds. Christians have been doing it for centuries around the world. But they have never been successful to change the cultured, the educated, the intelligent, the talented. They have been successful only to change the beggars, the starving, the orphans. To change an orphan into a Christian, or a beggar into a Christian, is nothing much of a conversion. Because the person is not going for Christianity. is going against his poverty. And the people who have come to me have not come against any poverty. They have come for a spiritual search, which the church has not been able to deliver. And to change a Hindu into a Christian, or a Jew into a Christian, or a Buddhist into a Christian, is an easy job. It is simply changing the prisoner from one prison into another prison. I have taken you out of the prison into the open sky. I don't have any prison to give to you. The politicians are afraid. The religious heads are afraid, and it is a good sign. It means that we are winning and they are losing. People become afraid only when they are losing. Why the German Chancellor should be so afraid? I was coming in his country, but he is afraid as if he is living in my country. I will come to Germany because the law is absolutely illegal, criminal. My sannyasins are going to fight it in every court of law. And I will come triumphant into Germany and challenge the Chancellor to face me openly before the public. He has taken a very idiotic step. He will repent for it.
There is no way for the people of East Germany to come to peace. Are you going to visit them in East Berlin?
I have many sannyasins in East Berlin and very brave people. They wanted to make a commune in East Berlin. I had to stop them. I had to tell them, remain underground. The same is true about the Soviet Union. I have thousands of sannyasins which are underground. 200 sannyasins KGB has been able to find out, and they are persecuting them, harassing them. They have taken their books, they have taken their tapes, they have taken their videos. But there is nothing that they can say is against. I stand for a higher communism than Soviet Union stands for. According to me, Soviet Union is not communist yet. The rich and the poor. The old classes are no more there, but now a bigger distance between people has arisen. The bureaucrats, the people who have power, and the people who don't have any power. The rich were never so powerful, and the poor were always able, if they had talent and intelligence, to move into higher strata of society. But in dasa there is no movement possible. It is a static society, a dead society. I love the idea of communism, but a communism can only be true, authentic, when it is based on anarchism. If it is based on the dictatorship of proletariat, it is not going to be authentic communism. It will be simply poverty distributed equally. I would like no poverty at all. The whole people should be richer in every possible way. My communism means equal opportunity for everybody to be unique and unequal, because psychologically nobody is equal. And if you want them to be equal, you have to force them to be equal. And any equality which is dependent on force is not worth the name. You have to take all freedom. You have to take all individuality. You have to sacrifice the real individual at the feet of an unreal society. The society does not exist. It is only a name. If you search for society, you will not find it anywhere. Wherever you will come across, you will come across an individual. My communism is individualistic, and my communism is anarchistic. I would love to go to East Berlin. Right now they allow at least to pass on the roads . I will use that opportunity. My people can meet me on the roads. And as sannyasins will be growing faster in Russia, for a psychological reason, because for 70 years Russian people have been denied every spiritual urge. It is going to explode any day. The Russian youth is burning with a desire to know more about the mysteries of life, not only materialism, which is already dead. Friedrich Nietzsche had said, "God is dead." He was wrong on two counts. First, God has never been there, so how he can be dead? On the second count, modern physics has found that there is no matter. Matter is illusion. It only appears. What exists is energy, not matter. So the old God is dead, the old materialism is dead, a new world is arising, which will be based on energy and its transformations, and that is my work, how to transform your energy from sleeping to waking, from conscious to superconscious, how to destroy all unconscious corners in your being and make your whole existence full of light and consciousness. There is tremendous appeal in Russia. People are writing books with handwriting, typing books, psycho-styling books, and spreading them underground. This is the only movement in Russia which is going on underground, the only spiritual movement in Russia. Soon we will have enough people that they will not need to be underground. I will ask the permission of the Soviet Union to visit my people there, and it will be a good chance for Soviet Union to slap on the face of America. If they allow me and stop persecuting my sannyasins, which are absolutely innocent, which have no political goals, I will support Soviet Union against America all over the world. But if they don't allow me to enter Russia, then sooner or later my people have to fight inside Russia legal battles for my entry, because I do not want to break any country's law. I am a law-abiding person. But I will find ways to meet. I have been finding ways to send them literature, to send them tapes. I will be moving around Russia where people can come and meet me. Even if I am against some law, I will not break it. I would like the law to be withdrawn, only then I will enter into that country. And it does not matter my people in Russia are spreading so fast that soon they will have a tremendous force, and they are all young people, and all the bureaucrats are old, almost dead. For 70 years after the revolution, the same clique of people has been ruling Russia. Their one leg is almost in the grave. Soon younger people will be coming to power, and the moment younger people come to power in any country, then I am in power. With the young heart I have a synchronicity. My heart beats with the younger heart. There is a tremendous communion not only with words but even with silence. But I will try to reach East Berlin, and I will try to reach Soviet Union and other communist countries. Because this whole world is one, and I don't believe in the bogus boundaries of nations. I don't believe in the discrimination of religions, and I don't believe in the discrimination of nations. The world needs to be one. Only then this world can be a paradise.
Did you go to the German border, talk to the German Prime Minister, if there is no permission for you to enter the Germany?
Certainly.
Right now, you are not far away from the city of Rome. Are there any plans to meet Rome?
I never make plans. That is not my way of life. But existence may have some plan. If it has brought me so close to Rome, it may take me exactly to Vatican. I would love to encounter this bogus Pope. Who represents nobody. Because there is no God. Jesus represented God. He was a crackpot. And these popes are representing Jesus. These are bigger crackpots. And particularly this pope is not only a crackpot, he is a Pollock too. I would love to discuss openly, publicly with him amongst his own people. Because I know there is no evidence for God. Centuries people have worked and have not been able to produce any evidence. There is no evidence that Jesus is the only Son of God. When God is doubtful, Jesus becomes doubtful. and claiming to be the only begotten Son of God. Is real egoistic attitude, a megalomania, and that too 2,000 years before, when there was no birth controls. Why Jesus is the only begotten Son of God? Has he gone on birth control? As far as the pill is concerned, only recently the pill has been invented for men. Up to now it has been only for women. I don't think that the pill for men was available for God. And there is no mother. The Christian Trinity is ugly. It is derogatory to women. It would have been far more natural, God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son. That would have been looked natural unit. This guy, Holy Ghost, has no place in any family. What is his purpose? And to what gender he belongs? Is he man or woman? And Jesus is so much fanatic about it, then when his mother comes to meet him, he is preaching in a crowd. Somebody in the crowd shouts that Jesus, your mother has come to see you. And the way he answers is so ugly that all his preachings about love and peace are destroyed. He says, tell that woman. He does not use the word mother. Tell that woman that I know only my Father who is in heaven. I don't have any mother, any father other than the God. These popes are representing Jesus. These popes are representing the Holy Bible, which is the most unholy book in existence. 500 pages in the Holy Bible are sheer pornography. I would like to discuss with him that if this is not pornography, then what is pornography? So the Pope is thought to be infallible. Just 5 minutes before his election, he was fallible. He was just a cardinal. And after the election, some miracle happens. And this is an election. And he becomes infallible. nobody can elect an enlightened person. Election is basically political. Truth does not depend on election. If truth was to depend on election, you would have been primitive even today. Galileo would have been defeated. He was alone who was saying that the earth goes round the sun. Not vice versa. In his old age, sick, dying, he was dragged into the court of the Pope, and the Pope forced him to change that sentence in his book. Galileo must have been a man of immense sense of humor. He said, "I have no difficulty. I will change the sentence, but I want to remind you that my changing the sentence is not going to change the earth from moving around the sun." He changed the sentence in his book, and in the footnote he wrote that, "I have changed the sentence because it goes against Bible, but the earth still goes round the sun. The earth has no obligation to follow the Bible." If truth was to be decided by majority voting, then Gautam Buddha would have never been chosen, because he was a rebellious person amongst Hindus. He was condemning the Vedas, which are worth condemning. He would not have got any votes. Then Lao Tzu would not have been chosen as a great enlightened man, because he was against Confucius, who had immense power over the whole land of China and all the politicians. Truth stands on its own authority. I do not represent anybody except myself. Truth is never a carbon copy. It is never second hand. It is always fresh and new. And from its freshness comes the authority. Truth is not authoritative. I want to make a distinction between these two words. Truth has a authority. Its very presence changes something in you. It is not authoritative. It cannot force you to change, to convert, to follow another ideology. It has no mundane power. Its power is spiritual. I would really love if existence plans it that way, because I have never been planning my life, and I have loved the art of not planning the life. It has given me tremendous blissfulness, because nothing disappoints me. And each day takes its own care. I have left myself into the hands of existence. If it can manage millions of stars, I am just an ordinary man. It can manage life for me too. I am an utter let go. Wherever existence takes me, I am willing. There is every possibility. That you may find me in Vatican. Please come, don't miss the opportunity.
For years, the German population has been decreasing. Obviously, German women don't want to have babies in their own country. What do you recommend?
German people are fortunate that their population is decreasing. The problem is not with decreasing population, the problem is with increasing population. Thirty years before, when I started teaching in India about birth control and abortion, I was stoned. Attempts on my life were made because I was teaching something immoral against God. But at that time India's population was 400 million. If they had listened to me, they would not have been in such a mess as they are now. Now India's population is 900 million, more than twice. It was estimated 5 years before that by the end of this century, India will have 1 billion population, and that will be for the first time India will be ahead of all nations as far as population is concerned, even ahead of China. But just now, the population explosion has been going beyond the estimates of economists and mathematicians. Now they say by the end of the century, India will not have 1 billion population, it will have 1,800,000,000, almost 2 billion population. Now this country is going to die. No nuclear bombs are needed. Its own hunger, its own starvation is going to kill it. It always happens, poor countries increase their population. Richer countries decrease their population. There is some fundamental law behind it. The poor countries increase population because they don't have any entertainment themselves. The rich countries have many other entertainments. Have more exciting explorations available to them. Sex becomes secondary. Secondly, richer a country is, the women are going to be liberated from men's long stretched slavery. In the poor countries, a woman is simply a child producing machinery. 12 children is normal. 15, 18, even 24 children are not unheard of. The whole life the woman goes on producing children. No education, no music, no art, no dance. There is no time. Just bringing up children takes her whole life. Destroys her beauty, makes her body ugly. In a richer country, the woman is not going to allow it. She is now educated, she is now demanding liberation. And why she should destroy her body by producing children? When children can be produced in test tubes, why destroy a beautiful woman, her proportionate body, her beautiful breasts? In no cultured country, a woman will be ready to feed the child by her own breast. The breast cannot remain round if children are going to feed. The round breast as you see in the statues of great art, is very much against the side. If the breast remains round, the child will kill himself by drinking milk, because his nose will be closed by the breast. He could not breathe and drink milk together. Either he can breathe or he can drink the milk. The breast has to be long. Then the child is capable of breathing and feeding together. The scientists say that man has the capacity to go on renewing his life for at least 300 years if right food, right exercise, right environment is made available. But man has been dying near about 70. That is the traditional time to die. A woman in a country like Germany, should insist that there is no need to increase the population. You can take in adoption children from poor countries. That will help in two ways. It will help the rich countries and their people to keep their health and their bodies. And it will help the poor countries. Secondly, the question is that the women in Germany are not ready to produce children by their own husbands. This is very significant to understand, that being a husband is one thing and being a father is another. The functions are totally different. Being a wife is one thing and being a mother is totally another. You can fall in love with a woman, that's okay, you can get married, but as far as children are concerned, it is better that the scientists, the medical board, decide who is the right man for the woman, or the right woman for the man, to give child a better life, a beautiful body, more intelligence. This should be simply a part of intelligent people. Why you should insist that your child should be your child? What difference does it make? Can you recognize your child when he is just a living atomic cell Can you recognize this is your child? Man's function in producing children is not more than a syringe. And in each lovemaking, the man releases almost 1 million living germs. And that is where politics starts. A great race, because only one will be able to reach to the mother's egg. It is a very small passage to us, but for those sperms, proportionately, it is almost 2 miles long. For 2 miles, 1 million germs, sperms are rushing madly to reach to the post of the chancellor. And my feeling is the best ones will stand aside from the crowd. The best people are not so mad, not so ambitious. The best people want to be left alone in such a rough hour. They would like to wait a little when the crowd has gone, then they can move. But then they have lost the chance. Only one sperm will enter into the mother's egg and the egg closes. Sometimes it happens two sperms reach exactly at the same time. That's why twins are born. Sometimes three, sometimes four. The biggest record is 9. But that is a rare thing. The person who reaches may not be the best person in those 1 million Yehudi men and women. He may not be a Picasso. He may not be a Gautam Buddha. And I am certain he is not, otherwise the world will not be so full of stupid people. The mob, the masses, are almost retarded. In the First World War, for the first time, intelligence was tested. IQ was discovered. And it was a shock that average individual on the earth has only 13 years of mental age. He may be 70 physically, but mentally he is only 13 years of age. This is a strange thing. It is perfectly good that a woman should decide and the husband should help her to decide. Take advice from the experts. That who will be the right man to the woman. Finally, just as there are blood banks, there should be sperm banks. And generous people should go there and donate their sperms. Out of those millions of sperms, the best people can be chosen. We can fill the earth with geniuses. I'm not against what is happening in Germany. It is just the beginning. Beginning of something more that is going to come. A sperm can be chosen by the medicine people and that can be injected to the woman. And one should be happy that you got a beautiful child. Why insist it should be mine? This possessiveness is primitive. It should be the best. It should be the most healthy. It should be a contribution to the world. Its beauty, its grandeur, its fragrance. It is one thing to live with one person, it is totally a different thing to give birth to a child. For that, different laws are needed. And this stupid possessiveness that the child should be mine has to be dropped. And if the population is dropping, it is very good. If all the rich countries follow the same pattern and their populations start following down, they all can take in adoption from poor countries children, and we can balance the world in a better way. And remember, cross-breeding is not only helpful in animals, in birds, in fruits. Cross-breeding is a tremendous phenomenon, but man is so unscientific, he has not tried it. If more and more people from other faraway countries, Ethiopia, India, Thailand, where people are dying from poverty, if their children are adopted by the rich countries, their blood will bring something new to you. So soon they will be young, soon they will be getting married, soon they will be able to produce children. Their children will be far higher in every possible way. This is a scientific truth that I am saying to you. Decreasing population is a blessing. Increasing population is a curse.
Well, you once said that sannyasi should make love for their friends' women. Is this still valid?
It is more valid than it ever was. I'm against marriage. Marriage is one of the sicknesses which has tortured humanity for centuries. It has not given anything, but it has taken away much. My idea is the family should disappear. It is out of date. People should live in communes. 5,000 people living together. The whole village becomes a commune. Nobody is married to anybody. But whomever you love, you live with the person. There is no reason why lust should come in between you and your lover. The policeman and the magistrate and the registrar of marriages, the priest and the church, why this whole queue? Love is enough. This queue was invented because people became aware that today you may be in love with someone and tomorrow the love disappears. All real things are changing. Only unreal things don't change. If your love is made of plastic, it won't change. But if it is made of roses, it is going to change. And love is a rose flower. In the morning it is so beautiful, it seems that it is immortal. Shining in the sun with the dew drops on it, dancing in the breeze, releasing its fragrance, it seems it is going to remain there forever. But by the evening the petals have fallen down, the rose has disappeared. Existence is constant change, flux. The idea of permanency is man's own mind product. To make love permanent has been one of the greatest crimes. You cannot do it. You cannot make a rose flower permanent. To make love permanent, marriage was invented. To make it permanent, laws were invented. To make it permanent, divorce or anything that changes it was condemned. The people who lived their whole life together had a certain respectability. Nobody knows their inner agony. I have heard about a couple who was known in the city as the best couple. They have lived for 50 years together. Nobody has ever heard anything against the couple. Their love seemed to be eternal. Their friends were gathered on their 50th marriage day to celebrate it. Everybody was celebrating. But they were surprised that the man was missing. Somebody went out. He was sitting in the garden under the tree, very sad. But a friend asked him, "What is the matter? We are all celebrating 50th anniversary of your marriage, and you are sitting here so sad." He said, "There is a reason. 50 years before, I had gone to my attorney to inquire about divorce. He said, in this country, it is not possible. And if you try it, you will get at least 50 years into prison." And I am thinking that if I had not listened to that man, today I would have been free. "50 years I have been in prison. That attorney is dead, otherwise I would have shot him. That idiot made me afraid. Otherwise I would be celebrating, dancing, because I would have come out of the prison. There seems to be no way for me except death." What happens? People fall in love. They are not pretending. It is true for the moment. And in that intensity of moment, they start promising that I will love you forever. And if you are born somewhere in India or in eastern part of the world, people even promise that we will love you for many, many lives to come. The intensity of love of that moment makes them promise, not knowing what is going to come tomorrow. A man of understanding never promises. Because what can be said about the next moment? I may be dead. And once they get married, nobody is made for anybody, remember. And even if somebody was made for you, it would be so difficult to find him or her in 5 billion people in the earth that your whole life will go into searching. By the time you may have found, the life would have slipped out of your hands. I have heard of a woman who said that she remained unmarried because she wanted a perfect husband. And she searched and searched. The friend she was relating it asked her, "Did not you find a single perfect man?" She said, "I found one, but he was looking for a perfect woman." Meeting on the beach, meeting in a disco dancing is one thing. Falling in love is very easy. But remaining 24 hours with the man and the woman is a totally different affair. Then you come to know the reality. What you had fallen in love was a mask. You were pretending to be your best, she was pretending to be her best. But you cannot go on pretending 24 hours, year after year. Sooner or later you start seeing the reality of the person. And both become disillusioned. At that point, marriage prevents them to separate. Religion prevents them to separate. Government prevents them to separate. And originally was the problem the children. That if they separate, what will happen to the children? Their duty towards their children prevents them to separate. My simple idea is families should disappear people should live in communes. There should be no marriage, hence there is no possibility of any divorce. People should love and be together as long as they feel love is still alive. The moment they see love declining, it is time to depart. And depart with friendship, depart with gratitude, with all those moments that you have lived in the past. Depart as friends. As far as children are concerned, the commune should take care of the children. Everybody who is part of the commune should contribute to the commune, whether you have a children or not. All children are yours. Communes. This will give the children also a richness of experience. So many uncles, so many aunts, they will not get what psychologists say, fixation, father fixation, mother fixation. Every boy gets the mother fixation because only one woman he comes to know. And he becomes fixated with the idea of the woman, and his whole life unconsciously he is searching the same woman. He is not going to find. He wanted to make love to her mother or her father. That was not possible. And now they are searching for their fathers and their mothers. And you cannot find. The existence does not produce similar people. It always produces unique. So the man is looking in his wife, his mother, and he does not find it. The woman is looking for her father, and she does not find it. And both are disappointed. Psychologists say if we can give the child a more richer experience of many people, he will not have a fixation. He will have some idea of what a woman is, but the idea will be vague. And it will be possible for him to adjust that idea to any woman he likes. Or to any man the woman likes. She has known so many uncles who were all loving. And remember, uncles are more loving than fathers. Aunts are more loving than mothers, because they don't have to take your trouble and your nuisance. In Talmud, God says to the people that I am not your uncle. I am not a nice person. I am very jealous God. What is important, he makes the statement that I am not your uncle, I am your father. And if the commune takes the responsibility of the children, no burden of the children, of the people, you can meet, they can come to meet you. They will only see your beauty, your love. They will not see the mother nagging the father. They will not see the father beating the mother. They will not see that the mother is throwing things around, breaking plates, throwing clothes at each other. He will not see all these ugly scenes. And he will not have any idea that these things have to be done. In his own life, he will not repeat it, because he has no conception of it. If there is no marriage, jealousy will disappear automatically, which is almost a cancer of the soul. Every man is jealous, every woman is jealous, and jealousy is pure poison. It destroys your love. You become each other's jailer. What we have done up to now has not been a blessing to humanity. Things have to be changed from the very root.
When you are in a new marriage, you ask the sannyasi to stay at home, no visitors, no talk. Isn't it a responsibility for you when hundreds of sannyasis will be coming to preach now?
It is my joy. In India, I had told sannyasins not to come to Kullu Manali. Because we wanted to purchase land and houses in Kullu Manali. And if thousands of sannyasins start coming, immediately the orthodox, the old-fashioned, it starts freaking out. And the politicians are always looking for an opportunity. Those few days that I was not with my sannyasins, not talking to them, not looking in their eyes, not looking at their faces, not listening to their laughter, I felt undernourished. So So it is not a responsibility. It is absolute blissfulness for me to be with my people. And here I can call them, because here we are not going to have a commune. So we don't care what the government thinks, what the bishop thinks, and they are already thinking stupid things. Just the other day I saw that the bishop of Crete has called a meeting of other priests, because he is informed that 2,000 sannyasins are going to be here. And he is afraid of their traditional values. He is afraid that my sannyasins will not fit with their society, with their church. Certainly I have the most unfit people around the whole world who don't fit anywhere, but they fit with me absolutely. And I don't see the point. I have such nice people, such beautiful people, such loving people, that you cannot find anywhere such people together. But the society is afraid. I had to leave Kullu Manali only for that reason, because the government was ready to give me land, to allow me to purchase houses there, but with conditions. I don't accept any conditions. Conditions were that no foreign sannyasins will be allowed. Conditions were that no foreign news media will be allowed. So they were going to cut me off from my own people around the world. And this whole world belongs to me. There is nobody foreigner. I refused. I moved out of Kullu Manali. Immediately, the moment I heard their conditions, I said, I would rather live in an aeroplane and move around the earth, meeting my people, so they need not worry about coming and visas and you preventing them and governments preventing them. I can move around the world, that is easier. And I am ready to do that. if some government is not going to give me unconditionally a place where 20 to 40,000 sannyasins can gather at a time, then I am not going to stay anywhere. Then it means no country belongs to me. I am countryless, homeless, and I will remain a wanderer, moving around the world, meeting my people wherever they are. It is not a responsibility, it is an immense joy to me. I may have nice eyes, but you have a wrong question. You should ask your papa why he has been shaving his beard. I have not been growing it. It grows itself. Just look at your papa. I have seen him. He would look far more beautiful with a little beard, mustache. Ask him why he has been cutting something natural. Just think, if a woman takes certain hormones and starts growing beard and mustache, how she will look? Do you think she will look beautiful? She will be simply horrible. And the same is true about man. The moment he starts shaving his beard and mustache, he is doing something unconsciously, because every woman looks beautiful to him. He thinks perhaps the beauty is because there is no mustache and no beard. So the poor fellow cuts his own beard and his own mustache, but he forgets that to a woman, he will look just like another woman, unless she is a lesbian. Otherwise, he will have no interest. A woman loves a beard. A woman loves a mustache. Man and woman should remain as distinct as nature has made them. The more distinct they are, the more attractive they are to each other. The more closer they come, the attraction disappears. Now there is coming in fashion a certain dress which can be used by both the sexes. that will destroy much. And if you go to the logical conclusion, ask your papa, you should cut your genitals also. I have never cut my beard. These are my original hairs. If they fall by themselves, I cannot help. But it will be very difficult for you to find a man who has his original hair. And I love originality. I have never shaved, I have never cut. It is ugly. But there are people who are doing it simply because women look beautiful, they think they will also look beautiful. But women look beautiful from the man's eyes, from the man's hormones. The woman has different eyes and different hormones. Without beard and mustache, you will not look beautiful to her. She may tolerate you because it is the fashion. But once she understands what you are trying to do, she is not going to tolerate you. No woman should allow her husband to shave the beard or the mustache. Because by shaving beard and mustache, he loses something of his manliness.
If you had three wishes, what would they be?
I don't have any.
What is your favorite
food? A difficult question because I don't know the name.
The last question. Do you like the music of Madonna? Pop star?
I hate it. Is it okay? Thank you.